Welcome to the Officer Media Group Roll Call Podcast. Officer Roll Call is meant to inform and entertain. Now, let's get into this episode.
Welcome to the lineup, Officer Magazine's roundup of this week's police and law enforcement news. I'm your host, Joe Vince, assistant editor for Officer Magazine. And with me today, my regular partner in crime reporting.
Oh, you're going to call me a regular partner in crime? Oh, reporting. Crime reporting, and then not even say my name? All right, look, I'm having flashbacks to the movie Deadpool, where the bad guy's going, say my name. And he goes, oh, I'm going to spell it out for you. Interestingly, my name is Francis, but I go by Frank, and I am quite happily a retired lieutenant. And it is Friday, and spring is here. It's not getting much better, man.
Yes. I've got a few showers out here, but I'm so happy for the nicer weather. So I am not going to complain.
Right.
So as always, loaded show. So let's jump right into it with our first story out of New York City, where very dramatic body camera footage was released of an incident in December where an NYPD officer had to take down a suspect who was holding a man who was holding his mom in a chokehold. She was losing consciousness. Looking at the body cam of this incident from December 23rd, my gosh, the officer fired one shot, struck the suspect in the head, fatally wounding him. Such a tense situation. And I gotta imagine, Frank, I mean, this is one of these cases where you feel like no matter what you do, you're probably going to be second guessed.
Oh, 100%. You're going to be second guessed. The bigger question is, how's everybody going to move? I'll tell you this point blank. I'm not a bad shot, right? I've been a firearms instructor for a long time. I've been a shooter for a long time. I have yet to find a weapon, a handheld weapon, that I can't qualify expert with. But to take this shot, even at close range, as you're making the decision to pull the trigger, and the time that passes between the decision and the disengagement of the sear that drops the firing pin, that fires the round, so much can change. And I can't imagine, you know, this could have gone a completely different way. And I'm not being critical in any way. Kudos to this guy. He did a great job. But if this guy had moved that woman 3 inches, we'd be talking about a dead lady instead of a dead suspect. You know, so I can't, kudos to the officer. It's not a shot I would have wanted to take. Just like I said, because so much can change, but this is how it's supposed to happen. Bad guy, hostage, threatening hostage, screaming at the officer. Officer goes, okay, pulls the trigger, you know, problem solved.
Yeah. And here was a case where the woman, who's in the chokehold, she's losing consciousness. You know, how you can't really wait that long to make a decision to try to save this woman's life. To have to make that type of shot and to be able to do it, you know, great work by him.
The good news is if she's losing consciousness, you don't have to worry about her standing up and moving over.
True.
If she starts to sink to the floor, she's actually out of the way, and it's a good thing, as bad as that sounds.
No, I totally get what you're saying. Moving on to our next story, this is out of New Mexico, and just grisly footage of an attack on an Las Cruces police officer, Jonah Hernandez, where he was fatally stabbed. And the department released both the officer's body camera footage, but also security camera footage. And I have to say, I was just absolutely shocked by the ferocity of the attack. You particularly see it in the body camera footage where the attacker continues to lunge and you see the blood splatter onto the lens. It's just gruesome stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of lessons to be learned. And we've talked about this before, Joe. Anytime. Mm-hmm. We lose an officer, I want to look and find out what lessons can we learn. Because I guarantee you, every officer that's ever made the ultimate sacrifice doesn't want anybody else to do it the same way. They want people to learn from it. So when you look at this, we need to remember a couple of things. Once the suspect has committed to, they've made the decision and they've committed to attacking the officer, they're not stopping and they are going to be violent. The second thing we have to remember is that at that point, we human beings are not civilized. We're barbarians of the worst sort. And we are vicious and we are violent and we are bloodthirsty. And that's what this officer was faced with, unfortunately, and lost his life in this attack. And then you have another officer that shows up. Was this an officer, this other gentleman, Astorga, who goes to his vehicle, gets a gun, and he confronts the bad guy. The bad guy gets shot when he tries to attack Astorga, and the bad guy gets killed from the injuries. This guy Astorga wasn't even, he was a witness. He was a bystander. He wasn't even an officer. So I'm glad there was a civilian around, a citizen around that was legally armed and willing to step up and do what was necessary. I really feel bad this officer lost his life. It's hard to watch, like you said, but I would encourage the officers listening to this to watch the video on the website. This is titled "Violent Fatal Stabbing of New Mexico Police Officer Caught in Graphic Video." Recognize the reality. It can happen to you. It will happen fast and it will be violent, and you better be prepared for it or bad things happen.
I like your point too of emphasizing the learning that can come in these tragic moments. And you have to, because you want to prevent it going forward. And it's not about necessarily, and you've been great about that, it's not about, pointing a finger or issuing blame, but really about how to stop something like this from happening in the future and potentially saving a life.
Yeah.
Moving on to our next story. This is out of Iowa, where another attack on officers. This one thankfully ended better for the officers, but still scary nonetheless. A man, he was in a casino parking ramp, and this is going to be an understatement, agitated toward law enforcement, and ended up ramming his vehicle into a cruiser for an officer who was not there for this suspect. He was just in the parking ramp, rammed another cruiser when officers respond, and then jumped out of his vehicle and attacked one officer what appeared to be some type of homemade weapon. I think it was described as like a metal medieval flail, and just began swinging it at the officers. The officers were able to open fire and take him down. But here you are again, like you said, this is things you have to be ready for, because here was this first officer in the cruiser who's just going into this parking ramp for whatever reason, and then out of nowhere comes this guy in a car ramming your unit.
So, and we need to remember that there's two separate attacks here, Joe. So there's the attack with the car, right? Yes. When somebody starts ramming you, even a small car today, you're talking about a 2,500, 3,000 pound weapon. They're trying to attack you if you're in your vehicle, through your vehicle, or if you're outside your vehicle, then directly. But that's the first attack. And then he gets out with this metal flail, as it's described. And we have a second attack. I'm not going to lose any sleep over the fact that this guy didn't win the fight. I mean, he brought a metal flail to a gunfight, effectively. He had a documented contempt for law enforcement. He had been observed earlier on video smoking what was believed to be meth. You attack cops with a potentially lethal weapon, you get shot, you don't survive. I'm sure somebody somewhere is going to try to tell me I can't say stuff like this, but too bad, so sad, bye-bye. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You're no longer wasting the oxygen of our fair city in Sioux City. Congratulations to the officer for surviving the event. I'm glad they did what they had to do and they get to go home.
Absolutely. Moving on to our next story. This is out of Minnesota. Following up on the tragedy there last month, where two Burnsville police officers and a firefighter paramedic were shot and killed during a shootout and standoff that involved children in a home. This week, the officials released a transcript of the 911 call. And what was very interesting was the dispatcher and how she was working with the kid, with the kids inside the home as this was happening, making sure that they could get to safety, and also trying the best to comfort these kids in this horrendous situation where they see three people killed by a gunman, and then the gunman turned the weapon on himself and fired the trigger. You've remarked before, Frank, we don't necessarily talk a lot about the work that dispatchers do, but this is an example of, even though this individual wasn't there at the scene, making a huge impact during that incident.
Oh, 100%. You know, we talk about the thin blue line and law enforcement. We talk about the thin red line and fire. We talk about the thin green line and military. There's the thin gold line, and it's the dispatchers. They are truly our life's blood. They're our connection. They're our lifeline. They're what connects us. And we forget how much impact they can have on the 911 lines. These kids needed to be needed some guidance. They needed to be told a direction that they could go. They needed to have somebody to keep them calm and get them out of an ugly situation, tell them how to get out of it. I'll be honest with you, one of the best dispatchers I've ever heard was working the street one night, and a neighboring jurisdiction had an officer on the street, and a canine officer, his wife was dispatching part-time for that agency. He got into an ugly situation. Now, can you imagine your spouse out on the street in an ugly situation, and you're the dispatcher that has to keep it together to get your spouse help, to direct the other officers to what they're doing, just stay calm, cool, and collected. And she did a phenomenal job, one of the best dispatchers I've ever known. But we don't give them enough credit. We don't give them enough thanks, and we really should.
Absolutely. Moving on to our next story. This is out of California, and with good news when it comes to at least applications for the California Highway Patrol. They have seen a surge, a 95% increase in applications compared to January 2022. And it's been the most applications they've seen in the past 7 years. This comes as the agency has launched a recruiting campaign. And this was, it is actually, a handful of agencies now are seeing the uptick in at least applications of candidates. And I got to believe it's got to be a blend of how they're recruiting and maybe the areas of, you know, the type of individuals they're targeting now, given that, it's been so tough to fill the ranks.
You know, kudos to CHP though, and I'm looking at their new recruiting program, and it's very Hollywood, right? I mean, and that sounds silly to say, but you go to the website and there's really cool pictures of cars, the patrol cars, the specialty cars, people in their uniforms, 100% squared away looking, video clips of the cadets in training and what kind of training that they can expect to have. There's a whole sales pitch about being more than, you know, just having an average career. And this is what it says, the average career just won't do. You are made for more. I love it. I like that message. How to's, the minimum requirements, the what you got to do, the age requirements and stuff like that. This is a really well done recruiting effort. Every other agency ought to take a look at this. And just so for the people listening, if you want to look at it, it's CHP, madeformore.com. MadeForMore.com. CHPmadeformore.com. Wonderfully well done recruiting site for them. And obviously it's paying dividends if they've got a 94% uptick in applications.
And you said, you know, it's Hollywood. One of the pieces of this recruiting strategy is a reality series. And I think that's such a great idea, given how ferocious the appetite is, you know, right now.
It's a
people
great
are,
idea
are watching
until they
these...
show the blood spray from an officer being stabbed, as we just discussed. But,
true. Well, this is the cadet training. So, all right, moving on to our next story. This is out of Texas, where it's just a great video to counter all that sort of ugly videos earlier, right, of Austin police officers saving a four-year-old boy from choking. They respond to the call, and the body camera footage captures not only them saving the life. This child was, initially thought the boy was choking on candy, but it turned out to be his own saliva. They end up clearing the obstruction. But what's great about the video is the reaction of the kid afterwards, still a little shaken, but gives the officers the thumbs up, gives one of them a high five and a hug. It's just great to see.
It is. And this is one of those feel good moments, Joe, that we really need to, I don't know, we need to see more of, share more of. You know, this officer could have called Fireboard and waited. You know, there's a lot of people out there, I think, that would have just gone, well, I'm not a medic. I don't know what to do, whatever. This officer, and I imagine every other officer that's a parent, cannot just look at a child choking and ignore it. Like you said, they thought it was a piece of candy, and that's why he goes through the efforts of clearing the airway and getting any obstruction out. When it turns out the kid's choking on his own spit, which I think most of us at some point or another have inhaled our own spit, and we sound like we're dying. You know, but the officer did what he thought he needed to do. And once the kid can breathe again, he's so happy getting a high five and a hug. You know, it's one of those heartwarming stories. It's one of those humanity side of law enforcement that the mainstream media never shares.
Absolutely. And that's a kind of a good segue into our next story too, out of Philadelphia, where this is something I wanted to highlight. What Philadelphia Eagles, longtime defensive lineman Fletcher Cox has been doing for the Atlantic City Police Department. The department is actually relabeling one of their cruisers, the one that's going to carry their newest canine that was donated by Fletcher Cox. And this isn't the only dog that Cox has donated to the department. This is the second one. I just think that's great. Not only is a lot of times athletes will certainly support law enforcement and come out and volunteer and so on, but how many times do you hear them say, you know, actually putting dollars down and saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to donate this dog here, which these cost money, you know, it just kudos to him.
Yeah. I love to see this. You know, too many professional athletes, current and former, leverage their celebrity status to try to protest whatever they want to do, accuse the police officers of being racist and violent and whatever. To see somebody like this come out, and not only does the agency, the New Jersey agency, get a second canine out of it, which is awesome, and it increases their ability to serve and protect the communities, but think about the people who look to this Pro Bowler, right? And they use him as their example. Right. He's the guy they look up to. He's the guy they want to grow up to be like. And here he is supporting law enforcement so aggressively, so generously. So, you know, there's a stretch here beyond the effect of the dog. There's the side effect of people seeing what he's doing going, wow, well, if he thinks that's the right thing to do, maybe I should do that too. And that goes a long way. We'll never be able to measure that.
You know, absolutely. I'm glad you said the word generous, because there is a generosity to this. And yeah, again, just great to see. Finally, for our last story, this story started off my week, and it Nothing could top it. It's just made my week, my month, possibly my year here. This is out of Colorado, where some of the best body camera footage. Lakewood police officers were responding to a burglary alarm. And as they were searching the building, they found that the suspect was still inside. Where they found him, however, was an interesting spot. The body cam is actually really great, because here you are, two officers with rifles drawn, opening a door, and the big reveal is the suspect sitting on the toilet. And his reply, I can't repeat, but that was also priceless. The video goes... just about the video goes on, and you see you see the man stand up with his hands up, but his feet are his pants around his ankles, and you know, all I could keep thinking is of this small little cartoon that my dad would have hanging in his office that said, "No job is over until you finish the paperwork," and apparently and this was it. So,
you know, thank you, Lakewood. All I can think of, Joe, and I I'm going to be a little bit gross and a little bit funny. Here you are, and I can't imagine. I mean, I broke into a house, and I got to go. So I'm going to go to the bathroom. If you're having any issues, the door slams open. You got two guys with rifles in your face. You're not having issues anymore.
Exactly. That'll clear you up real quick.
But now here's the thing. Obviously the paperwork hasn't been done yet. And he's standing there with his hands in his air and everything hanging out. Which one of us is going to handcuff him and pull up his pants? And it's really not, here's the bad part. It's really not a good officer survival, officer safety tactic to say, "Dude, pull up your pants." I don't want him reaching in his pants. There might be something that can kill me in there. So he's still going to get handcuffed. I mean, we're going to put on two pairs of gloves that go up to my shoulders, but he's still going to get handcuffed. And then somebody has to pull up his pants and buckle him on. That's the ugly side of law enforcement. This is funny as all get out, but that's the ugly side of law enforcement.
Yeah, fortunately, that is not in the body cam. But yeah, it will definitely make my year if I find out that this suspect, his defense is that he wasn't breaking in to steal anything. He just really needed to go to the bathroom.
So when the brand muffins aren't working and Metamucil doesn't help you out, break into a house and sit on the toilet and wait for the police to show up.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I gotta compose myself. I told this to my dad last night, and the two of us just could not stop laughing. Like I said, this has made my week. So
I have a great niece who once questioned just how many naked people police officers had to deal with. She's like, you know, how much of a problem can it really be? You talk about like it happens all the time. I'm like, it happens a whole lot more than you think. And now we have an even better example. This guy's he's not naked. He's just in the middle of nature's call. Anyway.
Ugh.
Hey, that's the note we're going to end on.
Exactly.
For your lineup. If you're constipated, call your local police. They'll help you out.
You know what? I can't add anything to that. Just stay safe.
Everybody, thank you for listening. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Lineup. Please remember, the opinions voiced are not those of Officer Media Group or Endeavor Business Media, but only those speaking those opinions themselves. Thank you and stay safe.